Servant is a word that we typically think of in a negative way. In the book of Luke, Jesus taught no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible is full of examples of how we are to serve God. For this reason, I have chosen servant as being one of the seven ironclad Christian characteristics. Episode 24 will discuss how we are to serve as Christians and give examples both from Old and New Testament examples.
Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Jesus Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me each week to help develop and grow your daily walk with Christ through biblical discussion, lessons, and teaching to help us to be a light to those we encounter in the world that we walk and live in.
We as Christians oftentimes lose focus on who we're actually working for. This is not a new concept of God, of course, because the children of Israel done the same. He would protect them, or he would save them from a catastrophic situation, and they would turn their back on him again. Well, this is something that we have to deal with from day to day. And sometimes to stay focused on what we're supposed to do, we have to remember that we're to have a servant's heart. For that reason, I want to look at a few stories from the Bible on what it is to be a servant, because no doubt it is one of the seven ironclad Christian characteristics that we should have in our life. The characteristics that we have laid out before have all been positive, and this may be seen as a negative characteristic, but I promise you, in the context that we're going to use it in, it is not. So let's first look at the book of Joshua. In the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, he is giving out a history to the children of Israel of everything they have gone through. They have seen, of course, catastrophic times. They have been through slavery in Egypt, and then they were brought out of the land of Egypt to be free. God had even promised them a land, and by this time there had even become those who were doubting what was going to take place. They thought that they were not going to be saved by God, or that they might not inherit the land, even though God, time after time after time, had given them good example. Joshua then makes a very bold statement. He takes a very strong stand to show them that there can only be one true God that can be served by the children of Israel. So in the 24th chapter, the 14th verse, he says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." See, what was taking place here is for some reason humanity always wants to strive and find a false god. They do that today. And the Bible is also very clear that we cannot serve more than one master. That's why the word servant is being used so strongly here, because each day that we walk, each breath that we take, every day that we live, we're to be focused on Christ. If we're truly going to call ourselves a Christian, we have to serve Him. We can't serve ourselves, because the Bible's clear that tells us that we're to decrease and Jesus is to increase. We also can't serve others as far as in people, and of course, we cannot serve false gods. And that was taking place here with the children of Israel, and Joshua clearly tells them, after giving them a history, you cannot serve the gods before the flood, you cannot serve the gods that were in Egypt, where your fathers were, or where your ancestors may have been, you must serve the Lord. But he doesn't just stop there. Because as Christians, sometimes we just want to poo-poo it away, and we want to be okay with people just saying, well, they are a atheist, or they are a this. And we just want to say they're okay because they believe in another God. It's even become very popular in the realms of spirituality today in our society to just be accepting of any other religion. But the Bible's very clear. Jesus taught there is only one way, and He is it. There's not multiple ways to get to heaven. There's not multiple ideologies that are truth. Jesus is the way, and He is the truth. So we must take up the mantle as Joshua did in the 24th chapter. And this is what he said in the 15th verse. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was very clear here to tell the children of Israel, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve God. And I know a lot of people may be like, well, Dan, he was serving Jehovah God. That is true. That's part of the Godhead. Remember, Jesus was the fulfillment of the Messiah that they were waiting to come. So Joshua was very clear that he's serving the Lord. Christians, today we should ask ourselves, whom are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the gods of our fathers? Are we going to serve the gods of our forefathers before the flood in the land of the Amorites? I know that's an example we may not relate to today, but are we going to dwell in the house of the Lord? Is our household, mom and dad, listen to me, this is very important, because if you're going to raise a good, godly Christian family, you can't serve whatever land you live in. You can't serve whatever the culture tells you to do. You can't have a woke mentality, if I can use that term loosely. You have to serve Christ. Christ alone is our hope. Christ alone is our salvation. And that is who our hope exists. And that is where our hope lies. So when we ask ourselves this, we need to take a hard line in the sand, much like Joshua did with his people. We can look back to where society has followed other gods, but we have to ask ourselves, we have to make that choice, who we will serve. And of course, as Joshua said, and I hope that all of us can be as bold, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Another example in the Bible relates to modern day people. We all know that we live in a very easy life. Money, if we might say so, runs our society. And it seems that money controls the power and the wheels, and everything that takes place is all based around cash. Well, that's not a new or a novel concept. That's been taking place for a long time. That's even something that's proverbial. So let me try to relate this to how we're to look at being a servant and who we pay our servant's fee to. The book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, says, "The rich ruleth over the poor." Well, yeah, that's a pretty obvious statement. We in modern day America would agree with that. However, it doesn't just end there. It says, "And the borrower is servant to the lender." See, anytime you finance something, whether it be your home or your car or your college education, you are putting yourself in service to the one who paid the money so that you can pay that back. Well, let me try to build a connection between this one and having a servant's heart towards Christ. See, we as mankind had a sin debt. Our Creator, God our Father, created us. And sin then came into the world via Adam and Eve, and then all men sinned. The Bible's clear about that. All of us have sinned, for it says there are none righteous, no, not one. Well, there had to be a debt paid because of our sin. That was money that we had financed away from God because of the sin in our life and the sins that we committed, and all mankind does it. And that's where Jesus steps in. See, in the Old Testament, they had to make sacrifice for their sin. There was a protocol and even certain animals that they would sacrifice depending on the severity of the sin they had committed. But see, that's where Jesus changes the game. Jesus is the prophesied Messiah, as I've stated several times, and he comes into the picture and he taught and he did miracles, but his purpose was to pay that debt. So the sin debt that we owed towards God because of our disobedience, Christ paid it for us. Now, many of you may think, well, that was a free gift from God. And that is true. It's not something we could have ever earned back ourselves, and there was nothing that we could do to ever pay that sin debt. That is why our God Father loves us so much, because he sent his only begotten Son out of his love to pay the debt for us freely. Now, I want to try to draw the comparison here between Proverbs 22 and who we're to serve. Granted, Jesus's blood, the sacrifice he gave, was the lending that paid back our sin debt. And I know there's some people who are thinking, wow, David, you're really stretching here. And maybe so, but maybe it helps in the relationship to why we should serve Christ. If we call ourselves Christians, we do that because we follow him. We follow Jesus Christ. We are to mimic who he is, or at least to the best of our ability. And therefore, we should serve him in all that we do. Here's the thing I want you to keep in mind, though, as we look back at those. If you don't pay that debt to the bank, you better believe they're going to foreclose. See, sometimes when we make ourselves a servant to money, it ruins our life. And the Bible's also very clear that the love of money is the root of all evil. But when we look at our sin debt that we had, God gave his Son freely. And it is much easier to serve someone who just pays the debt for you without any strings attached than when you may, say, finance your home or finance your car. So Proverbs 22:7 has a great relationship to why we should serve Christ, because he did die on the cross for our sins. He gave us the freedom. He paid that debt for us, and therefore we should serve him knowing that he paid that debt. That brings me to my next point. Of a lot of times when people serve, they do it for the wrong reason. They do it because they want to be seen greater to their master, or they want to be seen the best one of them all. But see, that's not how Christian service works, and Jesus even covered that with his disciples. So let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about. In the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 24th verse, the disciples are sitting there and it says, "And there was also a strife among them," speaking of the followers and the disciples, "which of them should be accounted the greatest." That was their primary focus. "And he," being Jesus, "said unto them, The king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief, as he that doth serve." In other words, what Jesus was teaching us here is that when we follow him, when we pick up our cross and follow Christ and we accept him as Savior, we can't do it in a boastful manner. Remember, Christ paid the debt. It's not something we could have paid ourselves. But also, those who are the greatest among us in God's kingdom should not be the ones who everyone else is waiting on. We are to be the ones who are out working in the fields. I'm going to give you a great example of this. I once knew of a pastor in a church. When they would have any kind of meal at their church, he would let everyone else fix their plate before anyone sat down. The example he was trying to set is that even though he was the pastor, which a lot of people put on a pedestal, he was there to serve those at the church. He would also stay after and he would sweep floors or take out the garbage or do all the work that a lot of people might think the pastor wouldn't do. See, that's how we should be in society today. We should look at the world as a world that we can serve because we serve Christ. To have that servant's heart means you go out and you do the things other people don't want to do. I promise you that you don't do this for the reasons of trying to boast yourself or boast of yourself, because remember, in our life, Christ is the one who should increase. And Jesus gave us the example first of being the servant. It also brings me back to memory of the Last Supper. Jesus and all of his disciples are in the room, and what does he do? He doesn't demand that Peter or John or even Judas, who's going to betray him, go get water and wash his feet. See, there's a religious reason and a ceremonial reason of what's taking place here. Anytime you had a servant of a low order in that time frame, they were to wash the feet of guests. We think of this today as maybe not such a big bad task, but at that time, remember, there wasn't a lot of foot powder, there wasn't a lot of spray, and I'm sure that some feet were pretty rough to smell or even touch. So the lowest servant had the job of washing feet. Jesus then gets up from the table, wraps a towel around his waist, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. I know that they all had to be sitting there in amazement as to the one who they are following, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is now bowing down and doing the job of the lowest servant. That's the attitude that we should take on, Christians, because Jesus set that example for us. He taught us that if we're going to be great, if we're going to be great Christians, I'll put it in that term and use it very loosely, that we have to be willing to do the lowest job of the lowest servant, because to serve him is to follow the example he set. And it is clear that Jesus taught his disciples, you're not doing this to be great yourself, you're doing this to serve me. And again, we can't serve more than one master, we can only serve one, and that is Jesus Christ. But Jesus' example just doesn't end with Luke. In the book of John, the 12th chapter, Jesus gives us another example of what is to take place. The Greeks had come to seek Jesus and to speak with him. And it tells us in the 20th verse, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Jesus then goes into this parable teaching like he often does. And in the 23rd verse, he says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now you may think, what in the world does this have to do with having a servant's heart? Well, hang in there, I'm going to get to it. The 25th verse of John, Jesus then says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." This life is going to end at some point in time, folks. That's the whole reason that we go out and we, to use a term, evangelize and to try to tell people who Christ was. But it doesn't just stop in the 25th verse, because it continues on to the 26th. "If any man serve me," this is Christ speaking, "let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honoreth." So in other words, what Christ is telling us that if we're going to truly follow him, we must be a servant of his. Think about all the teachings that Jesus had throughout time. I mean, there's too many, of course, to list in one podcast, and there's so many examples that we couldn't cover it if we even tried to in 1,000 episodes. But it's true that we are to be focused on Jesus and who he is. And that's in relationship to losing your life and finding it. See, if you look at your life and you make it all about you, or you make it all about your money, or about your home, or even about your spouse, then you're not focused on the right thing. You're not focused on Jesus. And that's what we are to be focused on. A man and woman who is married, who has a godly home, is not just going to be focused on each other first. They're going to be focused on Christ. Because by focusing on Christ, they also then get to focus on each other. And that is the amazing thing about the love of God and the way God works, is that He clearly lays out that by following Him, we truly become a servant of His. We give ourselves over to Him, which is what a servant does. Again, I said in the opening of this podcast that a servant is looked at in a negative or very dark light sometimes. And of course, we know from man to man it is, that we should not have servitude in this world. However, in the spiritual realms, we all are a servant to something. If you don't serve Christ, then you're serving Satan. That's pretty clear and that's pretty obvious, and even Jesus taught that. So we are to serve Him at all things that we do. And I want to give another Old Testament example of what kind of service should we give. Okay, so if we truly want to call ourselves Christians and we're going to focus on being a servant of Christ, then where's the limitations with that? So does that mean that God should be able to give us bad things in our life? Well, if He so chooses, yes, because there's a bigger plan in place. But in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, Laban and Jacob are going to have this conversation. And Jacob was needing a wife and wanting a wife. And Laban had two daughters. One was Leah, who the Bible describes as being tender-eyed, and Rachel was the other one, who is beautiful and well-favored. In other words, I'm satisfied when Jacob saw Rachel, his jaw hit the ground and his eyes bugged out like we might think of in a cartoon. And Jacob loved Rachel, the Bible tells us in the 29th chapter of Genesis, the 18th verse, and he said to Laban, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." In other words, Jacob was willing to work 7 years of his life away just to have a shot at marrying Rachel. That's love. If you date someone for 3 months and then you get tired of them, you throw them away. And too many times in our society today, we see that taking place. However, the love that Jacob had for Rachel was a great love. And that's the love we should have towards Christ. Now, I know that the number seven here is something that a lot of you may look at and say, well, you know, that was just a small amount of time in life, but 7 years is a really long time. Seven is also the number of completion to our Heavenly Father. And here's why I bring that up. Because if we're truly going to serve Christ, it's a 7-year servitude. That doesn't mean it ends in 7 years, but that means it's a complete work. That means that everything that we do follows along the lines of trying to do all the work that we can in making ourselves a servant to Christ until it's all finally said and done. We either lay our life down or He returns to take His church away. So yes, being a servant of Christ is exactly what we have to do in this world. And that is why being a servant, or having a servant's heart, is one of the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope you will go back and listen past episodes. Of course, you're always welcome to send me an email at host@bearhiscross.com. And may God bless you in the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter, or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.